divine disaster situation.
Help us to always have the door open to you. Help us to put you first. Help us to follow you. Help us now to allow your Spirit to speak into our hearts and lives, that we might be changed, renewed. And so, Lord, we pray for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, I've entitled this The Storms of Life. I don't know whether some of you might recognize this painting by J.M.W. Turner. It's entitled The Snowstorm, actually. So sort of, it's not legend, but it is perhaps something that he did, Turner. He's supposed to have actually asked that he could go on a boat in a storm. And he had the sailors tie him to the mast. And for 4 hours, he endured that. He says, I was there for 4 hours and I didn't think I was going to survive. And he wanted to experience what it was like in the storm. He wanted to know what it was like so that when he painted, he could actually paint that experience into the canvas. And that's what he did. And as we approach this passage in John, John is one of the disciples who was in the boat. So he's not writing about an account that somebody else experienced. This is something that John experienced. You'll find a record in Mark as well, Mark chapter 6, which actually has more detail. For John, he writes about what really mattered. And you'll find that his writing is very much focused upon Jesus. Go on. Thank you, David. I don't know whether this is just not working or. Thank you. But I just want to look at very quickly or briefly three items really that relate to this storm, fear in the storm. I've got a question for you. What words come to mind if you were in maybe an actual storm or maybe some of the storms of life, some of those battles that you're going through? What words come to mind? Perhaps you could just sort of throw them out to me. So that I'll see if I've made them. Sorry. Help. Absolutely. Anything else?
Fear.
Fear. Engulfed. Very good. That's a good one. Anxiety. Sorry. Can't cope. Yep. Panic. And
despair.
Despair. Yep. Absolutely. So hopefully I've captured some of those. So I've got fear, darkness, desperate, noise. Noise can overwhelm us as well. Battle, hopelessness, weakness, struggle, exhaustion, doubt, and despair. Those are just some of the things. Now, I wanted to give you an account of somebody who's been in a situation fairly recently. And I suddenly thought, I know, Tina's husband, Alex, is a sailor. I wonder if he has experienced a storm at night. And this is what he writes, very kindly has given us. He says this: sailing during the day in heavy weather is hard, but with the approaching darkness, your senses are heightened. Unable to see more than a boat's length, the roar of a breaking wave is critical in keeping a course. Sensing the wind on your face can be the only way to stop being overwhelmed. Time slows as you endure the cold and wet with what seems to be a never-ending assault of wind and wave. Tricks of the light and photofluorescent from the sea combined with fatigue cause you to imagine horrors at times, fearful of looking behind into the charging sea. It makes someone feel very small and insignificant. Stoic endurance, luck, and a good vessel will allow you to see the dawn. Very interesting, isn't it? What comes from someone who has actually been in a storm. Whether you've been in a physical storm or not, I don't know. But certainly, perhaps some of those experiences match the emotional storms or the other types of storm that we've been through. You know, loss, pain, suffering. There are many things that we go through which are really storms. And we might not be the sailors of this world, but we know what it is very often to go through the storms of life. These things can overwhelm us, can't they? And they take all of our energy, and we're fighting them, and we can't really think clearly. But my encouragement to you, if you're going through a storm, if you've been through a storm, if you're going to go through a storm, which is very likely, we'll probably be in one of those three categories, call out to Jesus in your storm. You'll see from that first reading, actually, that that's what the cry, the psalmist writes about, the cry for help. Mark records that as well. And secondly, I just want to look at Jesus in the storm, because Jesus knew what was going on. He saw, it says Jesus saw them. Now, if it's dark, if it's cloudy, there would be so little light, but Jesus saw. Jesus is able to see into situations perhaps that we cannot see. He is able to understand things that we cannot understand. And this is what Jesus says to them as he walks on water. Remember, this is not just flat calm. This is in a storm. Some of the waves on Galilee can be as high as 10 feet. So you've got quite a raging, frothing water. And he is walking towards the boat. They've struggled all night in that boat. John records, it's about 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, something like that, getting towards dawn. They're probably absolutely exhausted. They've been trying to row, and all they've done is managed to get into the middle of the lake, nowhere near getting home. Jesus simply walks to them. Mark actually records that he's sort of, as it were, walking past them, and they cry out to him. They cry out in fear, actually, because they don't know what's going on. They don't understand that Jesus is able to enter their storm. He is the one that you can cry out to. And Jesus comes alongside the boat. And in Greek, it's four words. I am no fear. That's what John writes. I am no fear. You see, that term that Jesus uses, I am, we've come across before, and I've been sort of going through that. But it has two meanings here. You can see from the psalm that we had at the beginning that help that comes to us is from God. And Jesus takes the name of God, I am. But it's also a personal. It's me. It's me. Don't be afraid, Jesus is saying to them. You see, God is the only one, really, who can claim the authority over the sea. Psalm 89 says, you rule the raging of the sea. When its waves rise, you still them. And then Job 9 records, who alone stretched out the heavens and trampled the waves of the sea? Who alone? Only God. I know Peter comes out, But that is with Jesus' help. And that's another happening of the walking on water, not this one. You see, Jesus had been with his disciples and he had cared for them. He had revealed who he was to them. But they hadn't really grasped it. Yet they did know him. They did recognize him. You see, Jesus has revealed himself to us. We have that in his word, beautifully written for us, recorded. And by his Holy Spirit, when we believe in him, he comes and indwells us and lives within us. Jesus is in our storm when we know him and love him, because he is with us by his Spirit. You see, Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and might have it to the full. And how does that match our experience? It's the fact that Jesus is the one that can be with us. Life for us might seem difficult at times, and we wonder, where is the fullness? The fullness is in Jesus. The fullness is the one who comes to us in the storm. We can experience him and all that he is in the storm. Have you invited Jesus into your heart, into your life, into your storm? Revelation, this is John's writing again, which comes right in the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 3. This is what Jesus says there. He says, here I am. Again, similar words, isn't it? He says, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. Jesus doesn't automatically enter our storm or our situations. He looks to us to invite him in. He will not go where he is not wanted. Invite him into your every situation. Put him first in your life. All these other things, we seek him first. All these other things will be added afterwards. Jesus, in the storm, he simply walks to them. And then just lastly, together in the storm. Mark chapter 6 says, and he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased. And they were utterly astounded. Jesus amazes the disciples, even though they had seen things that he had done before. But this blew their minds. Jesus could control the waves. He could control the wind. He calmed everything. John, in his writing, uses these amazing words, really. Suddenly, they arrived at the shore. They were in the middle of the lake. But it's almost immediately that they arrive. That lake was, the middle of the lake was probably about 3 or 4 miles that they had actually been rowing. So they had still another 3 or 4 miles to go. And if you Google how long it takes to row in a normal boat, then it's probably about an hour. This is no hour. Jesus comes into our storm, into our boat, and takes us immediately to safety. Isn't that wonderful? There is no messing about with Jesus. He comes and he takes them. This story of Jesus walking on water, John decides to, and quite rightly, he puts it in the middle and he records for us about the feeding of the 5,000. The feeding of the 5,000, they believed he was a prophet, it says towards the end of that passage. Then we have the walking on the water. Now they're starting to see that this is no prophet. This is the Son of God. And then what we have is Jesus then claiming, I am the bread of life. I am food for you. I am food. And verse 29, that Keith kindly read for us, says to believe, this is what God requires us to do, to believe in the one God has sent. These are the works that God wants us to do, not to do things for him, although that perhaps is something that we do out of love for him. But no, what God requires us to do is to believe in the one God has sent. The one that God has sent is Jesus. And belief isn't just as the devil believes in Jesus. No, it's not just an acceptance that he exists. This belief is total and complete, that we completely humble ourselves before him and come before him in worship and adoration, as those wise men did right when he was born that we've heard about. But Jesus takes this word, I am, and says to them, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. We do not work for food that spoils, but food that endures to eternal life. Jesus quoted to the devil. He said, we do not live, or people do not live, by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. This is the food. We feed upon Jesus through his words and learn of him. How many meals do you have a day? Three? How many times do you spend with Jesus a day reading his word? Three? One? Once a week? I don't know. But we cannot afford to spiritually starve ourselves by not feeding upon him. You see, by inviting Jesus into the boat, the disciples handed over complete control to Jesus. And he took control. He has no problem about taking control of our own lives as well, if we invite him in. You see, he is the one who calms the storm. He is the one that comes upon us in our own storms. He is the one who is able to help us in the storms that we experience day by day. So it's just those three thoughts, really. You know, there is fear in the storm, and we do worry, and the battles that we face. I know as a family, we have seen several recently, and there is sometimes you worry for somebody else worrying, and it can be quite difficult. And there is that fear, but Jesus comes to us in the storm, and we can be together with him in that storm. And it's so good to bring these things to him, to lay them before him, to hand them over to him, to not keep grabbing them back, but to hand them over to him. For he is the one who loves us and cares for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your words. We thank you for the way that you spoke by your Spirit into the lives of those who wrote these things down. We thank you that for John in his old age, as he wrote about his experiences with Jesus, we thank you for the words that he has used that speak into our own hearts and our own situations. And we pray, Lord, that you will continue to speak to us. for your glory. Amen. Perhaps we could stand together.